Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hello, my name is Dan. I am your host for this podcast. It's called Desert Island Dicks, if you haven't noticed before when you were downloading it, or maybe it just came into your consciousness by accident. But anyway, here we are. This episode features Finn Taylor. He's a funny comedian. I mean, most comedians are funny, some more than others. It's subjective. I happen to think he's a very funny comedian. So check out his stuff. But first, check out this podcast that he's done with us, because I think it'll entertain you. And that's basically what we're all trying to do here, isn't it? If we're all honest with ourselves, aren't we just trying to have a good time? If you've had a good time listening to this podcast in the past, or you have a good time listening to it today, then please do consider giving us a little rating and a review on iTunes or wherever it is that you get this from. It's very helpful and we appreciate it a lot. And to show you my appreciation, I'm going to stop talking now and let you listen to Desert Island Dicks with Finn Taylor. Hi, I'm Dan Benedictus and welcome to Desert Island Dicks, the show that sees you marooned on a desert island after a plane crash with the worst people and worst things imaginable. Who they are and why they're a dick is up to our guest, and here to share their Desert Island Dicks with us today is comedian and host of Finn vs. the Internet, Finn Taylor. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm excited.
Good. You ready to vent?
Yeah, because there's too many podcasts where you've got to pick your favourite things and you've got to be positive when I don't have that many favourite things.
So, I mean, you know, a few of your favourite things, it would just be a very short song if it was you doing that one.
Yeah, but also I don't want to listen to the same song over and over again. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The premise of Desert Island Discs is fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, I think with Desert Island Discs, I mean, you would just hate all the music that you brought with you by the end. You'd just never listen to it ever again.
Yeah, you just wouldn't listen to music.
There was famously, in like a long time ago, I think it was one of the episodes in like the 50s or 60s or something, there was an opera singer who just picked seven of her own songs.
Yeah, I respect that.
Proper diva behaviour.
Let's just see this for what it is, a chance to plug my own work. That's a very admirable way of taking on Desert Island Discs.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, cool. And I mean, so normally I ask people at the beginning of the recording if they're the sort of people that find it easy to rant. I mean, it feels already like, you know, you're not going to have any problem with this.
No, I suppose my main question is, what is your what is this podcast's position on libel laws? That's how far are we able to go, really? Yeah, no, I don't know. I find everything nowadays quite baffling. It just culturally, politically, everything. And I try not to just open a vent because I feel like I don't want to become that guy, that sort of guy that writes for the Times who wears red trousers and just sort of bleats on about the death of Test cricket. But I mean, I'm probably 10 years away from that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just a real grumpy fucking English middle-aged man. Mm. Is that you? Is that where you started this?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there's definitely a point that you reach when you suddenly go, God, I'm getting really angry about the bins these days. And like,
yeah.
And sort of, you know, electric scooters on the pavement going too fast and those sort of things, you know.
It's Thames water, bane of my life at the moment. Yeah, Thames water, e-scooters. I do this thing. I don't think I have anger issues. I think I have anger, but I just deal with it. So I don't think it's an issue. But my wife sort of has got an Amazon addiction. I mean, she's on maternity leave, so I mean, it makes sense, she's bored, but she's just buying just crap. So when I'm sort of folding down the cardboard and recycling it, I have a little multi-tool knife, and I just stab the fuck out of the cardboard. I lay it up against the bins, and I just, I do that on bin night. Is that normal? That's fun, isn't it? That's a very male thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I see loads of people doing it up and down my street.
Yeah, therapy? No, I'll just stab the car. Just stab the cardboard up against the bins. That's what I do.
All right. Well, I can see you're champing at the bit, so let's just get stuck into it. Who's going to be the first person joining you on the island?
Phil Spencer from Kirsty and Phil.
Okay.
This guy is just a peak twat. I don't know what else to say. Like, the one thing you need as a TV presenter is to be able to sort of talk to people and to sort of have a basic level of social interaction. He just doesn't have it. He just sort of has these crazy wild eyes, and he slaps people on the arm far too hard. And he sort of laughs. You know when someone laughs so that nothing's funny has been said, so you go, ha 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 ha. And he's a maniac. And I used to do TV warm up, and he had this show that it can't still be going. It's called Common Denominator.
Right.
And it was a quiz show, and contestants would have to guess the link, but they couldn't say link because of like the weakest link. So they had to say the common denominator. So every time there was a question, which obviously it's a quiz show, there's loads of questions. Every time he'd say, what is the common denominator? And he couldn't say common denominator. So the records would go on for fucking 10 hours because he would have to go, he couldn't read an autocue. He couldn't talk to anyone. His banter was worse than Paul McCartney's. The guy is a walking nightmare. I want nothing to do with him. And I do like property shows. That's the annoying thing. So he's just always fucking there.
My mum was always, she really liked location, location, location. And when I was looking for a house years ago, like, she kept saying, do you know what? I watched that and they get some really good results. You know, they're really good at haggling for the couple. Why don't I sign you up to be on that? And I was like, because I don't want to meet Kirsty and Phil. I don't want them in my house. I don't want to deal with them. And she just couldn't understand. She's like, but they'd be so helpful. I was like, I don't want to meet them.
I quite like Kirsty. I quite like her chutzpah. And are they actually married? Are they like Richard and Judy? Are they married?
I don't think so, but I don't know a lot about them, so I could be wrong. I think they're just two sort of estate agent-y people, aren't they? I don't know.
But that's the thing. What came first? Were they TV people who got into property, or were they, are they literally just got estate agents that got famous? Is that what happened? Because if he was an estate agent first, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I always assumed that they came from property first, but I've never looked into it, so I don't know. I mean, you're right, though. It would make more sense if he came from that because he hasn't got the sort of charisma and, you know, enthusiasm that you'd expect from a TV presenter. But then it begs the question, why not get someone else? Because there's no shortage of people who could, you know, who are good at that job.
Yeah, and they would be much more telegenic. I've just Googled it. They're not married.
Hmm.
This is complete bollocks. Despite their quick banter and heartwarming relationship, Phil has insisted there's nothing but a natural platonic relationship between them, while Kirsty has been keen to make clear that he's a really, really nice person.
It feels like they hate each other, and he especially has nothing but disdain for her.
I don't think he, but I just don't think he's able to display any emotion other than mania. If I was on a desert island with him, I just want to get to the other side of the island. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I find with them, they always do a thing where it's, you know, it's a property show and they go, well, I really want to live in this area. And they go, well, this area that we've found is just 6 miles away, which in a lot of places doesn't make a huge amount. You know, if you live in the countryside, 6 miles in a different village doesn't make a huge amount of difference. But in London, it's practically like the other side of London. Or, you know, if you're already in South London, going 6 miles away, you know, you're Croydon. It's not even South London anymore. And they always kind of go, well, we can't fit your criteria, but this is a TV show. So can you just pretend that you agree with what we found you?
Yeah.
Because it will make our lives easier. Because otherwise we'll go on for a year with the same couple.
Absolutely. And there's this sense of just grin and bear it from everyone that encounters him. Just, yeah, okay, mate, bye. You wouldn't want to buy a property that he'd had anything to do with, because then you'd have to see him again in the actual chain. Can't think of anything worse than being stuck on an island with Phil Spencer.
A strong first choice. All right, well, let's see how he's going to, what the sort of interplay will be with the other guests on the island. Who's your next choice?
Right, so I'd like to preface this by saying that I do like, I like drag queens.
Okay.
I like RuPaul's Drag Race. Me and my wife are big fans of that. I have been to see drag live. I've even written for some drag queens. But a drag queen out of context, when you don't want to see one, is the worst person to be around. When you're not in the mood, there is nothing worse. Yeah! Like, it's so grating. And like, if you're up for it, great night out. If you're stuck on a desert island and there's just someone with 3 foot hair and eyelashes just being sassy while you're trying to survive, I cannot think of anything worse. I don't know, maybe it would be a nice foil to Phil Spencer, actually.
Oh, I think Phil Spencer would absolutely loathe being stuck with a
drag queen. He would really hate it. He wouldn't know what to do. But you know what I mean? There's just a, like, it's such, for me, it's such a, oh, I'm in a good mood, I'll go and see this. But if I'm just trying to get on with my day, the drag queen would be so annoying.
Yeah, just like, you know, you're trying to get some coconuts. They're making lots of double entendre about nuts in your hands and things like that. You're like, not now. Like, I'm 40 feet up a tree. I'm trying to hold on.
Ooh, 40 feet up my tree. Ooh, it'd be like living in a Carry-On film. It'd be a fucking nightmare. Sass is fine, but not constantly.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, apart from quite enjoying the image of Phil Spencer and a drag queen, sort of him being chased around and they're trying to sort of spank his bum or something.
I didn't think about how they'd interact with each other. I just picked my choices in isolation. But actually, it's getting more interesting, I will. I concede.
Yeah, but at some point, he'll just storm off somewhere and won't be found. He'll probably, I can imagine him kind of storming into the jungle and going a bit feral and sort of being rediscovered, having gone a bit mad and made himself a crown out of leaves. And, you know, but meanwhile, you're stuck with the drag queen and it's sort of, can we just have a normal conversation
that's
now?
That's it. I just want them to just...
But it's the always on.
That's exactly it. It's the always on. Just take the wig off. What's your real name? Stop singing. I went to a gig once. It was a comedy gig in Australia, which was ruined by, there was a drag queen in the audience that was sort of in character that kept clicking and like, instead of like laughing and kept holding her hand up. It was just like trying to drag focus, I guess. I didn't mean the pun. Yeah, it's just that kind of, when you're not expecting it, there's nothing worse.
The idea of a drag queen, you know, when they're so done up and pristine, seeing them sort of gradually deteriorate over time as the wig gets sand in it and the makeup starts to run.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a month in, it's going to look like some weird Halloween zombie drag queen. It's going to, you know, she's going to be terrifying looking by the end of it.
That's true.
And I think, you know, obviously there's no reason they wouldn't want to get stuck in and, you know, mucking with the tasks on the island and stuff. But it's all going to be a bit more difficult because, you know, of long nails and heels.
And cattiness.
Mm.
Cattiness is funny when you're paying to see it. But if you're in like, if you're sat next to a drag queen when the plane's going down, oh, no, you know, just it's not time for camper sides.
Okay. Well, I think the two you've picked so far are superb and, you know, it's conjuring up a wonderful image in my head. So who's gonna finish off the trio?
Basically, there's this woman on TikTok. I don't know what her name is, but she just films herself eating raw meat. I think she got banned because I think they thought she was encouraging because it starts a trend or something.
Right.
But yeah, she just has these crazy eyes and she just takes a bite out of like a whole raw chicken. There's this massive bit of red meat that she just sort of dips in a tray of salt and just starts chewing at. She eats a whole like fish head off, like rips it off.
Oh, man.
I'm just thinking practically, if we're struggling to find food and we find the fish, but then she just eats it before you've had a chance to cook it, that's going to be a real bum out.
Definitely. And is she doing it? She's just doing it for shock. She's not, because there's a lot of people these days who, you know, advocate things like raw meat diets and stuff like
yes,
that.
Yes, it's not. No, it's not. This is not a diet influencer. This is a crazy woman who has a camera and seemingly no heat source in her house. She just stares into the camera and puts some music underneath her eating. raw meat.
Wow.
Where it's just kind of the whole TikTok thing is kind of baffling in that the only things that seem to do well are authentically crazy people.
Mm.
They don't want to see anything that's been like scripted or produced. They just want to see people in their most feral, mad, base animal instincts.
Mm.
Just like dancing or pissed or eating raw meat. That's all people want.
It feels a bit like, because it's, you know, maybe a slightly younger social media than the ones I'm used to, where it's like, you know, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. It's, you know, one step removed from what I understand as being normal social media. It's just that bit crazier because it's sort of a, maybe like a slightly younger generation who are more into it. So I kind of, it's more baffling to me. Like I'll see clips of stuff from TikTok and I'm like, is that the whole thing? But what is the,
yeah.
I don't know.
What, and I don't get it. I just don't get it. I don't get why someone lip syncing. I put clips of my stand up on there. And a girl lip-synced to it while doing her makeup. Like this clip got 3 million views and then she just lip-synced the audio, putting makeup on, and that got 3 million views. I'm like, who's watching that? What? Why?
It's really weird, isn't it?
It's so weird.
I mean, yeah, the raw meat, because it sort of starts off as well, you think, okay, this person's doing their thing.
That's giving them a lot of credit. Doing their thing makes it sound like they have any kind of art. I can't stress how it's just a woman, like where you can see me now, this close to the camera, just eating raw meat for 30 seconds.
Oh man, that's horrendous.
I think maybe influencers in general, in the same way that a drag queen's always on, an influencer now, you know, you're basically, you've privatized your entire human experience and you're selling it through advertisers to an audience. That is incredibly annoying if you're just next to them the whole time.
Yeah. It sort of feels like if, you know, if you had three wishes from a genie and you'd have to think really carefully, because one thing that you thought would be really useful, like, I don't know, having superhuman strength would later come back to bite you and it's a double-edged sword and you're too strong and it doesn't work. It's like with the influencers, you're like, do you want to earn lots of money doing very little? Yes. What's your thing? This, raw meat. And you're like, okay, fine. There's your success. Oh, fuck, now, like, this is all I can do. And people go, are you the raw meat woman? God, I wish I just picked makeup like the rest of them.
It's like that. There's a Japanese woman who smushes bread with her face. You aware of her?
No.
I think she's more a YouTube. This is more a YouTube. It's more our generation.
Yeah.
Than TikTok. But that's like I think that's a sex thing for some people. I feel like I need to be in my house with the doors locked when I watch stuff like this. It's a scary world out there.
It's all getting so strange, isn't it? Sort of like, someone lip-syncing a clip of you. Like, everything's just so sort of postmodern and meta at the minute. It's so...
People used to read novels. We'd understand humanity through the written word.
Mm.
And now it's just people pointing at mental health tropes while jiggling their ass to a Drake song. And then you swipe down, there's a woman eating a fucking camel meat raw. I don't understand what's... what's next is what terrifies me. Is what's... Because TikTok will be done in 5 years, and because there'll be another thing. And I cannot, for the life of me, that's when I go mad. That's when I just go, I need to live in the middle of nowhere.
It's nice to think sometimes that maybe it'll all go so mad that it'll reset and people will just become really wholesome and normal, but it's so obviously not going to go that way. It's only going to get stranger.
Yeah.
I think with the meat-eating lady... You're going to be on an island. At some point, you probably would just eat raw fish because why not? And you've pulled it out of the sea and it's fresh and it'd be okay. And it's, you know, just providing nutrients rather than pleasure at that point. And I wonder if at the point where everyone's eating raw animals, is she just going to be completely crestfallen? Like, you know, you'll just take away all that she has. And it's like, what the fuck do I do now, guys? And she'll just start eating even more crazy shit.
Well, she'll just go into cannibalism, won't she? That she will just live stream... our breakdown into cannibalism, which I assume is how this ends.
Yeah, I think so. If you want it to. I mean, it's up to you, really.
It's just the fish head one's the worst, man. Well, no, it's the chicken. It's literally, she holds up a whole raw chicken and just tears a bit out. And you're like, that cannot be good for you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Finn. Now, mercifully, amongst the wreckage of the plane, there was some food and drink left over. Unfortunately for you, it's your least favourite food and drink in the world. What are they and why are they so bad?
Okay, well, I really like all food. There's sort of only really one thing that I just can't eat. It's boiled beetroot.
Mm.
I like beetroot when it's been pickled and it's like a sort of relish, mm-hmm. adds a bit of zing to, I don't know, salmon roll or something. But boiled sliced beetroot, it tastes of earth. You pour in the purple water away, it makes me feel queasy. And then the texture, I don't know when I first thought that it was like this was what it would be like to eat a testicle, but I haven't been able to get that thought out of my head. Mm. And I just can't eat boiled beetroot. I just can't stomach it at all.
Yeah, you're right about that earthiness. It's sort of like, it tastes sort of dusty, doesn't it? Like it's been on the floor or something. It's like...
And white, like potatoes are in the ground too, and so are onions, mm. but they've come out and you've washed them and they're fine. Why does a beetroot still taste like the ground?
It's just one of those things as well that it really infects everything around it.
Yes.
With some things, you could just pick it out. If you didn't like tomatoes in a salad, yes. you could pick them out.
Preach!
You pick out a beetroot, you can still taste it. What the fuck's going on? It's everywhere.
It contaminates everything it touches. You're right. If it's on there, the whole dish is fucked.
There's something as well about, I don't know, just... The way it's in those packets of sort of...
Oh, yeah, exactly. The kind of space food, vacuum-packed.
Yeah, which is the worst thing to keep it in.
Because also, the beetroot in the packet, if you feel that, that's like you're checking for lumps on your own balls.
Yeah.
Like, if a lady wants to know what that's like, it's that. And that makes it worse. It just feels like I'm eating testicles.
And I mean, also, these are beetroots that have come from a plane, so they're going to be the worst kind of boiled beetroot, you know, in a sort of one of those little salad boxes you get on a plane where everything's a bit too cold.
Grim. They're really grim.
I think it's a good food. I'm interested to see now what you're going to wash it down with, what your drink choice will be.
So the only time I've had this was, I think it was the day after our wedding, or maybe the night before. Anyway, my brother-in-law had received this, you know, just when basically they've got like my in-laws have got this American friend, and so whenever he goes to Europe, he like buys an alcoholic spirit that's like from there as a souvenir. And he went to Hungary and he brought like the Hungarian spirit, and it's called a Unicum, and it is the worst thing I've ever put in my mouth. I mean, petrol is sort of doing it a disservice. Like, it's worse than petrol. It burns. It seems to be... I think pure alcohol would be easier to digest. Like, I felt I got cramps pretty much instantly. But the Unicum, it's any kind of, I want to say, Balkan surrounding areas spirit. Nah, it's bad. Bad vibes.
I think we've got to the point where, you know, if a national spirit is good, it's become famous worldwide.
Yeah, we already know about it. We already know about it. Like beer, vodka, whiskey, gin, wine, sherry, that's a type of wine, I suppose, port, tequila. You'd say those are the spirits that work. They're disgusting, but they work.
Yeah.
Any new ones, stop. We've got the ones that work. The other ones are just petrol. No one's going to open a Unicum bar in Soho. No one is, you know, Ouzo. No thanks.
Yeah. I sometimes think they just exist to keep, you know, it's just for tourists to bring back. Or maybe, you know, like very old people sitting around the table, that's what they would drink.
Do you think when you get old, your mouth is just so done, it's finished, that in order to taste anything... You drink these spirits? Because you're right. Basically what happens is that someone goes to a country, I'll buy the local spirit, takes it back, keeps it in a little cabinet with all the other tourist spirits, opens it once, goes, blah, 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 and then it just dies and leaves that to for their offspring to pour down the sink. Like, what is actually happening to these sort of niche European spirits?
Well, I wonder, like, if they are naturally dying out a little bit because, yeah, people have realised they're shit. But then I think it's one of those things where someone will try and bring them back at some point. It's like some hipster will kind of go, no, do you know what? We've got a great tradition in this country of making unicum. And, yeah, I'm going to bring it back and make my sort of artisanal unicum. Just, like, give it a second wind.
Yeah, if they found a way of mixing it, then maybe. But I would argue it's unmixable.
I think there's always sort of a race to kind of try and make an old thing. You know, like, I remember being in a sort of... Because I like sort of hipster beers, and I remember being in a off-license that sold lots of them, and I was like, what's this? Mead. Like, why are you bringing back mead?
Yeah.
Like, and there's someone who's really like, no, listen, you know, like, I really think this is going to be like, you know, and it's so old, it's so part of our roots. You're like, yeah, but like probably rabies is part of our roots, but we've got rid of it and it's okay, you know.
We moved on. Penicillin's better, yeah.
Yeah, and it's the same with like, you know, natural wine. Like I like wine. We've had wine for probably, you know, hundreds, maybe thousands of years, and we know it's nice. So why have we gone back to when it was shit?
Precisely. I couldn't agree more. I mean, you say you like hipster beers. I have to say that I'm done with. I cannot deal with ordering a beer and being presented with a glass of grapefruit juice. I've gone hard the other way. I now only really drink like Polish labourer lagers, like Tyszki. You know, there's one that's called like Zuba. It's got a big bison on the front. It's like 7%. Those are basically the only beers I drink now. Central European, Eastern European beers, best in the world. Stick to beer, lads. Don't be going into spirits. They're all death traps. No, but I can't stress how bad unicum is.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think all those sort of forgotten spirits, I think, need to be forgotten more and like properly forgotten and consigned to the history books. I think that's, they're terrible and they need to go. So that makes sense. Okay, right. Now, Finn, fortunately, you won't be without entertainment on the island. The plane's entertainment system continues to work, but just your luck, it only has two working settings. One is your least favourite film of all time and the other is your least favourite song. What are they and why?
My least favourite film is the most recent Wes Anderson film.
Yes.
It was called...
The French Dispatch.
The French Dispatch, exactly. I have to admit I fell asleep, but only after I got very angry at how self-indulgent it was.
Mm.
And it's just piffle. Just all aesthetic. Nothing going on. He doesn't seem to care that people are actually going to watch this. It's just him going, I have an image in my mind. Let's just act it out. Let's not give them any direction. Let's just put a fucking guy in a worker's smock and let's just give Bill Murray another gig. I mean, it's just pointless, just absolutely pointless.
Do you know what? I've completely agree. We, as a while ago, I was looking for something to watch with my wife and I hate that process of choosing something to watch. I generally end up just giving up, but we saw it was on iTunes or whatever and, it's sort of like an algorithm. It's like someone fed in all Wes Anderson films into an AI machine. I guess they're called computers, aren't they?
Yeah.
And just sort of said, you know, like, this one's been generated by, you know, making a Wes Anderson algorithm. It's got all the sort of, like, style and, like, the little funny little pernickety touches and, like, sort of weird little, I don't know, even the way they move and way they sort of, like, everything's presented. But it's boring.
Those touches are fine if there's, like, a story. Or even a setting.
Mm.
But no, it's just garbage. Just absolute garbage.
Yeah, and it's quite long as well, isn't it? I think it's over 2 hours.
Yeah, I really miss the days when films were an hour and a half and you knew what they were about and Nicolas Cage was in them. I miss those 90s stupid action hour and a half out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. Good film to... Also, the other thing is, you know, I don't know. I mean, I like Wes Anderson's other films, so it's sort of... You know, it could be a good one, but it's not.
Well, you're waiting, you're watching it and you're waiting for it to, like, start, basically. And then I think we must have both reached a similar point where you realise you're being had.
Yeah.
And it's not going to start. And it's just this. It's all bread. Nothing in the middle.
And yeah, and just being on the island, knowing that that's your only film. And like, I think each time you'd start, oh, maybe it is okay, because you've got the familiarity of his kind of style. But every time you just go, oh, yes, I remember now. Yeah, it is that bad. Yeah, very disappointing. And what would your song choice be?
I don't actually know the name of the song, but it basically, I have a one-year-old, and she has like a thing we put her in when we like need to go to the toilet or have a bouncer thing. And it's got a little keyboard and she smashes it, and this classical song comes on, but it's like 8-bit, and it's and then that one.
Is it something about spring, isn't it? Is it?
I've got no idea, but it came on, the actual piece of music came on in the car, and I like on the radio. I felt genuinely triggered and sort of almost had to pull over, because it's just, you know, you have a kid and you have like, it has the toy and it keeps pressing the thing. And so that's just in your head all the time.
Mm.
And it's one of those things where you have to, if it starts and then stops, you get annoyed because even though you hate it, you have to get to the end of it to feel like, do you know what I mean? It's just a classic earworm that I cannot get rid of. And I feel like in this nightmarish desert island scenario where French Dispatch is playing on a loop, there's a drag queen, Phil Spencer's laughing at nothing funny, and a woman's just eating a raw fish. This, like underscoring it all, it's just gonna push me to just walk into the ocean and not come back, isn't it? I guess that's what this podcast is, isn't it? It's what is your top 10 sort of pre-suicide touch points, isn't it? That's kind of what this podcast seems to be, is what would push you over the edge.
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's so many things when you're a parent that make a sound or a noise, and it's always too loud. Like a lot of them, if you notice, a lot of kids' toys, they have two volume settings. So there's normal.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Normal is usually too loud already, and then there's a louder button, and it's, why did you think it needs to be louder, manufacturers? It's like awful. I mean, one very good tip my sister-in-law gave me is putting sellotape over the little speaker holes. And that then you've got it about the level you want. Mm. Some of the toys you just get used to so that you can't really hear them. They don't register anymore. You've heard them so much. They just sort of sink into the background. But some of them, they never do that. I don't know why. Some are more jarring. Or when there's a new one brought into the house, you're like, oh, I can hear this so much.
Yeah. What's your number one enemy?
There's a few things that, you know, the five-year-old used to have, and now the 1.5-year-old's got. So you thought you'd seen the back of it, but then it comes back, you know, or you forget. Oh, there's this thing. Oh, yeah, he liked that. Oh, will you play with that? And he's playing away, and you're like, oh, fucking hell. I think it is definitely a recipe for sort of madness, because you're often, you know, sleep-deprived. You're trying to deal with someone that's just shouting at you relentlessly, and you've got some kind of music that you can't turn off that's on a loop. You know, if you wanted to torture someone, these are all tried and tested things, you know, like being screamed at, having music played at you relentlessly and not letting you sleep.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Bush and Cheney administration, isn't it?
Yeah. The other thing is that you're stuck on an island with this music and you hate it, but it's also going to remind you of your child that you've left behind. So it's like, it's going to be really poignant as well, in a way, because it will sort of, after a certain time, you won't have heard it, you'll be feeling low, and you'll hear this fucking music that you hate, but there'll be a bit of it that will just conjure up pictures of your child.
Yes, but then the drag queen will start twerking to it, and all the beauty of that moment will be shattered.
Yeah, yeah.
By her going, yes! And then you hear the sounds of the raw meat going in the TikToker's face.
Fair enough. Okay, Finn, finally, the island is overrun by the biggest dick of all the animals. Which animal is it and why?
It's my father-in-law's dog. I really like my father-in-law. I like my in-laws. Great family. Feel very honoured to be part of it. But that dog is, there's no other word for it. It's a cunt. This is an old English sheepdog that she goes out on walks and everyone's like, oh, wow, because they're quite rare nowadays. And she looks like a Dulux dog, but she grunts like a seal. She thinks she's tiny, even though she's massive. So she jumps on your lap, and if you're not stroking her belly, she basically barks at you until she does, until you do. And so she just pours at you like this. And so you basically, to shut her up, you have to lie down and essentially spoon her. If you're in a room with her and someone's not stroking her belly, you can't do anything. So, she's the most annoying dog in the world. And I lived with my in-laws in the first lockdown. So, and I you know, there was no gigs or anything, so it didn't really work. So I was essentially dog sitting this piece of work. And yeah, the idea of going back to that is, it was a big reason why I got vaccinated.
Are your in-laws aware of your feelings towards this dog?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's
I don't, I think, and my wife finds her irritating as well. And my wife's brother and sister, they fucking hate the dog. They really hate the dog. But my father-in-law is so loyal to it, which it should be the other way around, shouldn't it? The dog should be loyal to the... But he's got this misplaced loyalty for it. Also, there's a point where you think a dog's going to calm down. But she's like six now. Mm. So this is just her personality.
Yeah.
Did you say that the island is overrun with these animals? Yeah. Are you saying that there's like multiple clones? She's called Ziggy. Oh, my days. I can't think of anything worse. I would kill myself. Do all your guests say this? Is this how this podcast always ends?
No, I don't know. I mean, some people manage to find some kind of catharsis in it. Some people just feel sad at the end. I mean, you know, sometimes I feel guilty because they're like, oh, I was in a really good mood before. I don't know. I mean, you seem to be reacting, you know, quite negatively to it. And
I feel itchy at the thought of it, like my skin's prickling.
Something about the idea of an island overrun by old English sheepdogs, like at first you're like, oh, and then you just go, God, it really stinks around here. Is she a smelly dog? Because they sort of look like a dog that would be very smelly.
Yeah, you need to, massage anal glands and all that. And then he does these huge shits, man, these big, she lays some serious cable, that dog. And just kind of has always got like a wet beard. Always got a wet face, and so you've kind of got that kind of moldy, salivary. Just, I really like dogs, but this one fucking this pushes me. Yeah. And just she circles as well like a shark. If you're in a room, sat on a sofa, there's nothing better than having a sleeping dog like near you. It's the most relaxing, homey thing. But she just paces like round a coffee table. Just breathe, paces like she's waiting for someone to stroke. God, it's so unsettling. She's either doing that or she's yapping at you to fucking stroke her belly. Just so tiring.
I find dogs' bellies quite weird because some of them are like, you know, there's sort of like skin under there.
No, yeah, at some point it becomes skin.
Like I knew a guy had this dachshund and it sat on my lap and I was like, oh, it's quite cute, quite velvety and nice. And then, yeah, it's tummy stroked. I was like, it's like really hot skin. It's like, it's something a bit creepy about it. I don't know, because it had this texture of like a chicken, you know, like raw chicken, but skin. Really warm. Mm. And I mean, I'm not a big dog fan anyway. So it's just like, oh God, are all dogs like this? This is, ugh.
No, I like dogs. I really like dogs. I guess that's the curse, isn't it? In that I got lumped with the terrible dog.
Mm. Well, you know, it just adds to a rich tapestry of terrible island life that you've put together for yourself. You know, you've nailed the brief. You look uncomfortable with your decisions.
Yeah, it's a fucking hellscape.
Yeah, but you know that just shows that you've done really well here. You know, you've really achieved what we set out to do. So well done.
Thanks.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, but hey, look, let's distract everyone. Tell us what you're up to at the minute. Where can we hear about what you've got going on?
You can follow me on all the platforms. I am on TikTok, but I just post clips of stand-up and my internet show. I don't eat raw animals. Finn Taylor Comedy on across all social platforms. Check out my YouTube channel. I'm going to doing a stand-up tour at the start of 2023. You can book tickets from finntaylor.com or finntaylortour.com. Dot something. Or just Google it. My name's Finn Taylor. Just fucking put that in. You'll find it. But watch my YouTube series called Finn vs. the Internet. I mainly just post clips of that.
Brilliant. Well, Finn, thank you for coming on Desert Island Dicks today. I hope the rest of your day improves from here because I feel slightly like I'm responsible for your mood right now. But it's been a pleasure from my end anyway.
Thanks for having me. I have hated it.
Finn Taylor there for your listening pleasure. Thank you, Finn, for joining us on this episode. Just about out of things to say here, except to tell you that Desert Island Dicks is a Sync Clap production created by James Deacon, produced and presented by me, Dan Benedictus, and edited marvellously by Chris Attaway, and supported in all weathers by John Deacon. I'm recording a lot of these at the minute, so there will be dicks flying at you thick and fast. I say fast, I mean once a week. We're probably going to stick to once a week. Well, if we don't, you'll know about it. So just stay where you are, make sure you're subscribed, and they'll just come into your consciousness and you can enjoy them in your own time. That's it. Bye.